The goal is to bring together the industry's greatest minds of both countries and discuss market trends, future outlooks and best practices on the future of digital media, dealing with bilateral relations between Spain and Germany.
Hello and welcome back to another recap episode of the Digital Distillery Podcast, where we take your ears to yet another spectacular city on the TDD lineup, Madrid. The team and I barely had time to unpack our bags from Paris before we headed via plane, train and automobile to Spain for this one. This particular digital distillery was indeed a special one, as it was a joint venture between us and the German and Spanish Chamber of Commerce.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very happy to welcome each and every one of you today at the German-Spanish Chamber of Commerce. On behalf of the institution which I today have the honor to represent and our co-organizer, the digital distillery run by one of our member companies.
Walter von Plettenberg, Director General of the German-Spanish Chamber of Commerce, opened the day and talked a bit about why they wanted to get involved in our humble digital marketing event in the first place.
Germany is home to several of Europe's largest media companies. Spain, on the other hand, is the fourth largest market in Europe with a highly active media sector. In an increasingly,
as we heard in the last episode from Paris, the European digital marketing market is quite a bit different from the other big hitters out there like the US, China, and India. And in some ways, in digitalization in general, it traditionally lags a bit behind the others in this constantly evolving environment.
Companies nowadays act in a digital environment, starting from administration and production to marketing. So fast evolving that companies have difficulties following the evolution, thereby being often at a loss knowing how to react to changing.
Given the attendance of the German Embassy and the Chambers of Commerce, the team in the Madrid office decided to theme things in an official feeling newsroom / TV talk show vibe, and they really nailed it.
Interrupting your regular broadcast to bring you this special news update. A large bear has been spotted trying to obtain what looked like strawberries.
The technical setup was slick, with cameras covering the room for a live stream, an integrated sound and lighting system that was seamlessly controlled from a, well, control room off to the side. And when I asked if I could finagle my recording equipment in to capture everything, this beautiful man smiled at me and told me not to worry, he would happily do it all for me. What a dream. And this left me free to focus on my two other recording jobs for the day, having the pleasure of interviewing the esteemed speakers off in a room upstairs, and holding a long pole with a microphone stuck to the end high above my head in the sun for what seemed like hours. That would be working with the video guys for our interviews there. And it was worth it. The audio we get that way is a hell of a lot better than the old clip-on mic days, but boy, do I need to go lift some weights or something before the next one. My arms were as tired as a 90s comedian after a long flight. The event was split into three main topics, none of which will be a huge surprise to anyone in the industry less than half asleep at the keyboard. There were AI, responsible media, and attention. On AI, we heard from José Antonio Martínez Aguilar, CEO of Making Science.
Any, let's say, a human being, you know, a person that reads a lot, you read a book every week, you read, you know, 1,000 books. ChatGPT basically has read all the books in the world, in the history.
And Benjamin Bunte, managing director at German media agency Pilot Ignite.
We hosted an event, I think it was October, November, a few days before ChatGPT became public to the people. And some experts told us about generative AI. And until then, I thought that I have to teach my kids that they should learn some coding software. But in this evening, I learned that this was the wrong way. I have to tell them to learn prompting.
When you have somebody which is that smart, right? It's like, do you remember the British Library? You know, that has, you know, millions of volumes of books, right? One key is how to ask, you know, to the librarian what book to find, right? Because it's so many books. So now, when we are talking about AI, the important thing is prompting, right? Prompting is.
And as you can see, although this is our third discussion on AI at these events this year, the conversation is constantly evolving, and we'll be covering all these new aspects in the upcoming deep dive episodes. The next and most actively tuned into topic on the live stream was responsible media.
And to discuss about this topic, I have three outstanding guests.
And whether or not the digital industry is ready to make a full and meaningful shift into becoming truly responsible. Featured here from the stage was Managing Director of IAB Spain, Reyes Justribo Ferrer, Sustainable Digital Advertising and Strategic Partner Lead at Google, Lisa Vueweg, and John Atolazaga, Director of Intelligence Data and Analytics from Group M.
The state of readiness of the industry about sustainability in digital. We conducted, IAB Europe conducted research last year. So good news is that sustainability is in the top three key aspects that are really focused for the digital companies. If we were having this kind of panel, no company, no digital company will be talking about sustainability. Now it's in the top three.
As the digital media industry begins to better understand its role in the environment as an influencer, a user, and as a significant contributor to carbon emissions, it is starting to wake up and realize that it has, quite frankly, a lot to answer for, and as such, has an inherent responsibility to be better.
It's not about offsetting. Offsetting is expensive. But it's about reducing, and reducing also means reducing energy, it means reducing lost impressions, so non-human traffic, for example, and that costs money, that costs companies money. And having a more direct relationship with publishers, it helps to increase the quality of campaigns, but it also increases or it reduces the carbon impact of a campaign.
But we cannot do it ourselves. 98% of the emissions come from our supply chain. It's not our scope one initiatives, but the scope three, the initiatives that has to be with the supply chain, are crucial.
But responsibility is not just sustainability. I sat down with Lisa and Reyes to dig a little deeper.
There's different sides to responsible media and responsibility in media. The carbon footprint, so the ecological sustainability, is definitely one of the areas, and that's one of the areas where there's a lot of focus on right now. But there's more to responsibility. In fact, we just talked about the responsibility of media budgets and where they are placed. So if you are an advertiser and you place media budgets, there's also responsibility of what kind of publisher, what kind of website do you finance through your media that you're placing there.
At the end of the day, media is just a reflection of the economy, the consumers, what's going on in the country, in our world. Media has a lot of challenges nowadays, as we know. It's about of course, sustainability, as we were commenting, but it's about attention. It's about how to retain talent on the journalists. So there is a lot of things going on around media, and they are increasingly facing a world in which they have to defend their role, which I think it's key for democracy. I mean, without media, we would not be having democracy.
And it's not just up to the media to change its behavior, but consumers too.
It's about selecting the media that really do things rightly. So we as consumers should take into account the media that are responsible, that also pay their journalists as they should be paying. So a lot of things that at the end of the day means that you are going into a qualitative media, not just a media that gives you whatever they want.
And after a brief pick-me-up coffee or three, we were back to the stage.
And for the second discussion panel, focus on the fight for attention in advertising. It will be moderated by Gerardo Marillas, CEO of the House of Communication. The stage is yours.
For those of you who don't speak Spanish, I'm sorry.
Gerardo caught up with me after his talk to explain how things are changing in the world of attention.
The first thing is the market is highly fragmented. It's highly fragmented because historically we always talked about on and offline media. I mean, right now you don't do a linear consumption of media. You do a consumption on the go with mobile technology. You do parallel consumption when you watch TV, and at the same time you use a mobile or a tablet. So it's actually, so the way of consuming media, the type of media consumption, and the relationship to the media is not anymore the same.
And while new technology allows us to measure more than ever before, it's critical to not lose sight of what data is actually important to your company's goals.
I mean, the main problem we have right now is I'm seeing confusion in what people want to measure. Because, I mean, in theory, measuring was done in one way or the other in terms of impact, one way or the other. Then it moved to attention. But what is attention? And at the end of the day, the most important thing is it relevant for the brand and for the business? So if you're, for example, a hotel company, do you want to generate attention? Maybe what you want to do is generate bookings, or you want to generate trust because there's been a major scandal in a hotel somewhere out there in the rest of the world. So the reality is for measuring, you first need to know what do you want to measure and is it really relevant? And then you'll tailor and use the measurement. And that's a big confusion because in many instances, campaigns are measured on one dimension, which is not relevant for the business.
We also talked about some of the ethical challenges facing our industry today.
Data privacy is very important. But at the end of the day, the data allow the media companies and the advertisers to give you more tailored and more adequate content. Funnily enough, I see this more in the younger generations, which in theory would have less private data than older generations who simply have a longer lifespan and they have more things to take care of. But the younger generations is more concerned about the data privacy.
As the audience filed out into the lovely courtyard for some mini paella, mini burgers, and not so mini cocktails, the video team and I had a few more things to film and interviews to conduct, but then it was done. And happily, there was still time and daylight left to explore this wonderful city. This is your volume control if you want it louder or quieter.
That's perfect.
So this was my first time in Madrid, and I was yet to see any of it. But my colleagues, Steffi and Basti, had come a few days early to get in some extra Spanish time, and I'm beginning to think that maybe they won't leave.
Steffi and Basti want to move, so they absolutely loved it. So they're like, so when are we moving?
That's the first thing.
But I didn't know where to start. Thankfully, back at the hotel, there was another familiar colleague of ours who used to live here and had come to do some recording for our upcoming Green About Media season. And she was going to take me out.
Hello, Ara.
Hello, Phil.
How do you do?
Good, and you?
I'm very well. And I can't wait for you to take me out in Madrid and show me what the city has to offer.
I can show you around.
Excellent. And I've only seen this current...
We hopped on a train and headed to the crowded center square of Sol, and she told me the story of the bear and the strawberry-like tree that has adorned the coat of arms of the city since the Middle Ages. We strolled, taking in the sights, tasting the local beers, before settling into a long, lovely dinner at a terrace with the rest of the team. Another event done, another city visited, and another episode under our collective belts. We have a bit of a break in travel before heading off to Innsbruck, London, and Milan for more events. So for the next few episodes, we can focus on deep diving into all these topics that we've been covering so far. If there's anything in particular you'd like to learn more about, please don't hesitate to write in to podcasts at the-digital-distillery.com or find us on one of our various social media channels. If you're itching for more oral content, you can catch up on Season 1 of Green About Media over on the TDD Network, where we talk more about digital's impact on the environment and what we can do about it. Or head over to Nadia's show, Women Lead, for interviews and chats with some of our industry's most interesting and influential women. You can find all of our shows over on our website or follow the link in the show notes. And if you want to see what this event actually looked like, you can check out our recap video there as well. Thank you to executive producer Nadia Koski, project leads Dennis Kirshner and Stephanie Leonardi, and I have been your traveller, sound designer and humble host Phil McDowell, and you have been listening to the Digital Distillery Podcast. Until next time.